The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mulman Media Management and staff.
Hello, this is Joe Poe and
Mary Helen Deere,
hosting Kiowa Talk, created by the late J.T. Goombay. Our sponsors here on Kiowa Talk on Saturday on New Country 98.5 FM, Apache, Anadarko, Lawton, Fort Sill, are Kiowas for a Better Future, District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson, District 7 Legislator Jacob Sotai, Lawrence Spottedberg, Kiowa Citizen. Leonard Kozad Jr. is going to give the opening prayer for our show. Leonard, go ahead. How are you doing this week?
Well, so far, so good. Thank you. So we're kind of, I'm a busy man, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, yeah.
A lot of calls come in, and I got to get to them and all that. You know, it's just everyday thing.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm
but
sure.
Yes, it's a good day today. I appreciate it.
All right. Well,
and
go,
I thank again my friend George at the station, and we'll say hello to my 5A Lewis, and Sister Mary and you, say ye, let us pray. Let's ask God for help. Now, cold faith, you go, on the dog, you go. They go, key, they sound go. They go, no, no, time, a dog, you go. On the dog, that five ball, they sound go. There you go. Thursday, 2021. They go. So I go, no, no, time, a dog, you go. I say, go, ain't time, so go. No, great state, doggo. Only I, the dog, he tell the dog. Jesus Christ. Only I, the dog, he dog. Our God. Hey, go, no, no, time, a dog, he go. Hey, go. Hey, go. No, Bobby, Lewis, cause that ain't doggo, no, time. Hey, go. This dog will go be, they go. They go, run how they go, they go hang the dog, run how they go, don't go. They go eight dogs, sir. They go no, no, time ago. They go no, go ain't boat. Go no, go. They go hang a dog. They go no, no, time a dog. They go on the tiger. They go eight time go. Radio station, chicken shake. On the tiger, go eight tiger, go ain't go. Eight those on. Say, go, sister go. They go no, time a dog. I thank you again for another beautiful day, dear God, for the old man that I could see another day. Thank you for all the Kiowa tribe of Oklahoma, wherever they may be out of state. God bless them. God bless our home. Thank you, dear God. Amen.
Leonard, thank you for that wonderful prayer, and you have a nice day. You can listen into the show if you want to, or if you're busy, you can go and do your thing, but hope you listen in. All right, our next portion of the show is Mary Helen Deere is going to conduct an interview with our Kiowa Elder of the Week, which is Lewis Kozad. Mary Helen, take it away.
Hi, Lewis. How are you doing?
Oh,
Pretty good. Pretty good. They on it.
Well, good. Yeah. As I was saying earlier, it's hard to think of you and Mabel as being in the elder category.
Yeah.
Me, you're still kids. But I guess we all get there one day.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So tell me, let's start with who's your folks? You know, whenever we always say, who's your folks?
Okay, my dad is Leonard Kozat Sr., and my mom is the late Eva Kozat.
And you had quite a few brothers. You could fill up a whole drum just with your brothers.
Yeah, actually, our dad, he married a sister. But her name was Velma, the sister to our mom. I hate his family. And that's how our family got big. And six boys on that. Velma had six boys and one girl. And so that's how we got 10 brothers. And then the sisters, there were six on our Eva side, and Velma had three on her side. So we had plenty of sisters on our both sides. So all together, probably about 18 of us all together. We all part of the drum group with our dad, with our mom. And they were really proud of us. So they just did the utmost trying to keep that singing alive, especially with Kiowa. It's all Kiowas. There's no, we just did our utmost. Dad said he wanted to keep it as a Kiowa. You know, we just use our own Kiowa songs. Then it's Ohoma and Intertribal. He made a lot of songs that we could sing today, and we still try our best to carry those songs on what he taught us and what he did around that grandpa drum. You might say that he was very... you might say he composed a lot of songs, and so we just picked it up, and then we just did our utmost, like the Kong Konga and the Kiowa Gort Clan, and then mostly it's just kind of here and there the Ohoma, but mainly it was the Kiowa Kong Konga and the Gort Clan was the main singing that we did for our Kiowa people. And then when we travel out of state, then we would try our best to sing all kinds. We wouldn't try to sing other tribal songs. That the only time they'll come to our drum and they'll ask for a special song, we'll sing it. But we don't try to sing other people's songs. We don't do that. It's just all Kiowa songs. So that's what we do today. We don't try to sing nobody else's song, not unless they request it. So that's how we carry on with that way. So that's where our dad always tells us, your boys do your utmost. He said, them people are going to come around. They're going to ask for some help. And he said, you do your utmost. He said, these songs are here, you boys. Y'all can carry these songs on far as you can go. We don't know how far it's going to go. So that's what we try our best to carry those songs on that our dad, the late Leonard Kozat Sr., composed these songs. And then even the brothers, like Leonard Jr., he made some songs, and Larry, and different brothers. Even I made maybe a couple of songs that I made. The different families requested songs they wanted to sing for their family and keep it in their family. So these songs that we learned from our dad, that we try our best to carry it on, and the talent that they had, and we just, you know, share it with our Kiowa people, you want to say. We're not trying to say we're trying to outdo Kiowas or anything. We just humble ourselves and this is Kiowa. This is something that we want to carry on richly, and we try our best to carry on. Because these songs are ancient, like this Gort dance singing. It's ancient songs, been here a long time ago, and we keep it going. Different songs that we hear, and our dad was telling us, he thought these young boys, they call them Mustangs, the society of the Gordettes. He said, now the Mustangs, he said, these young boys, he said, we want to, they call it these songs, the Mustang songs, they call it the brush dance songs. And then he inserted those songs into the Gord dance. So we won't lose these songs. We keep it going. That's the reason why you go to a celebration, the Kiowa, you hear that Gord dance singing. Every now and then you hear a Mustang song in there somewhere. They'll sing it. There's quite a few songs that the dad, he said, just keep them that way. That way we won't lose them. So these songs are very ancient, and they're with us from the rest of our lives. But how far are we going to carry it? We don't know. But like I said, it's up to God. He's the one. He's the one that's going to make it go. But we just, like I said, our elders, did he encourage us? They said a lot of good words that we try our best to carry these traditions, our song and our dances with our Kiowa people. That everything is going to go that way, as far as we can go. So I just want to express it that way. So I'm just really excited about this program, that the people that listen to this radio station here. My mind just kind of go back at the time when the WNAD was with us at that time. And then the Indian program came about, as that's when Dolphus Goombay, JT's dad, it was an old man. He was comical. He was a good old person, and different ones that were part of the radio station. They did their utmost. So I just think about those people that once more time they were with us at one time. So we just want to carry it on our song and our dance that's still with us today. And I just want to do my utmost to keep it going and respect it in a respectable way. Our tradition, our song, and our dance are still with us today. The different dances that we try to do, even our ladies has their scalp dance, victory dance, all that other variety of dance with this Bayope doing their dance. Like, you know, we're going to try to carry that on too. It's just, it gets very difficult. And then, like I said, it gets hard sometimes. But yet we try our best to learn them songs and sing them right and then keep it going. And that's something beautiful to see those dances they carry on today, that some of our elders, they see what's going on, and they want to encourage the younger ones to take care of this dance, respect that dance, do that dance right, the right way, not just high game style or how you put your costume together, your regalia, when you put it on, you got your style. But a lot of people, they go beyond it and put too much gaudy stuff on your costume. They look like a Christmas tree. And I always think that way. You know, you, but you got your tradition, how you're going to put your costume together, and that's your style. And it's like the style of singing and dancing. It's a similar way that the style of singing and dancing, it's something that we try our best to carry those our regalia and our song the same way, to keep it going in a respectable way. That's what I try to do, and just try to carry on our songs in the different areas that we're lacking. There's a lot of songs that needs to be rendered, but we don't take it that seriously, try to carry on our song, because we're losing them songs. And especially our Kiowa, our different variety of songs, even to our religion of our churches, that our elders, then they talk about these prayer songs, these songs that we have, good birthday songs, Easter songs, all that is a religion of our Christianity, that our people that carry these songs on, and they sing these songs, and they try to do their utmost to encourage us to learn them songs and to sing them the right way, and not just hide your hand style. But a lot of these people I know that we have a little difficulty on singing these church hymn songs. Not too many of our Kiowa people that are left now It's just like I said, it's just in my mind, I was thinking about my brother Joe Fish and my sonny boy Freddie. And then the other one is brother Jeff Tohey. Those three are, I think of, they sing these Kiowa hymns, different ones. And these Spino songs are the ones, the Spino songs are very hard to carry on. And you have to learn them songs, to sing them at the right time. At the right time, the time has come when you sing these songs. And I know I've been to a lot of funeral service. I've seen a lot of people, different ones, singing. They sing a wrong song. They're not singing those funeral songs like they should be singing. And they're Kiowas. They're full-blood Kiowas. And why do they want to sing like that? And I just don't understand why they want to do that. It's just, I don't know. It's not an appropriate song to be singing. I've been to a lot of funeral services that these Kiowa elders are full-blood Kiowas, and they're singing something in there that's not right. And I hear them sing that way, and I go, oh, my gosh. You know, these funeral songs are very, you might say, dear to our hearts, because we want to sing those songs right. And like mm-hmm. I said, we get that way. It's I don't know why they, even the guys that preach us, then they sing these songs, the same thing. I look at them. Hey, what's the matter? You know, but I don't try to correct them or anything. But I hear what comes out of their mind and their heart and the way how they sing these songs. But it's not an appropriate time to be singing like that, you know. So I hear that, and that was, it's just like I said. This pandemic started 2 years ago, back 2 years, and it seemed like everything. It's just it's sad. It's really sad to see. Our people, the Kiowa relatives, passed away because of this pandemic. And that sickness, it's no good. But yet we have to go and support these people and to help them out. And to hear these funeral songs that we try our best to carry on that way. And as well as even they need help in singing. And like I said, different weekends, they got a power over here, different areas. They want to come over here and help them sing, or even hand games. Same thing. We just get ourselves involved in everything, because they need our help. And when our folks passed away, they tell us. They said, "Hey, don't mourn for us. Don't do that." They said, "Don't people over there, different families, different tribes, need your help? Go over there." He said, "That's all right. Don't mourn for us." He said, "Y'all go on. Don't mourn. Don't do that." He said, "If you do that, you get yourself sick." It's telling us that y'all need to go on, because these people need your help. Your family, your friends, your relatives, other tribes need your help. So that's how we just carry on. We can do whatever they told us. You know, it don't seem like it's right, but the whole name. If people want to say something, let them talk. We said, but you said, we're giving y'all the privilege to go ahead and go on with y'all's whatever you're going to do. So you'll carry on. So that's when we try to our utmost to carry those feelings when our mom, dad, brothers, and sisters are already gone. They told us that. They cried tears. Look at them. Said, don't mourn. Don't do that. Don't go on. Sing for those people over there. They need y'all's help. Everybody needs your help. Doesn't matter what color of skin you come from. And that's God. And that's okay. So that's how we're going to carry on our song and our dance, the same thing. So we just carry on today. And I think about those people. I think about a lot of people that what they're going through. A harsh time. It's not, everything's not perfect. Nothing's perfect, you know, but only perfect person on this world is Jesus Christ. But I'll think that way. And I think about a lot of our people, especially our elders. We don't have too many elders left in our tribe. And right now, my mother-in-law, Peggy, she's 98 years old. She's the oldest living lady in our Kiowa. She's here at this home here. Her daughters, Wompy and Mabel, taking care of their mom. and her brother-in-law, Tim, he'll come over and check on her, that she's still with us today. And I thank God for her life, that everything be good for her. And I know that we don't have too many of our elders. I know maybe somebody in that home that we don't know of, maybe they're going through some tough time the same way. But I know these doctors and nurses come over here. They see her every day, and they take care of her. They take care of her, whatever her needs are. And I thank the Lord for that, you know. And then different ones, different families going through the same thing. They're having a hard time. It's just sad to hear the kind of what they're going through, you know. And then we just keep on praying. It's that they don't time. Pray. That's what God wants us to do. Jesus Christ, we keep praying every day. They give us that momentum. We'll think about different ones. And that's how life is. We just carry on that way. And we try our best to do our utmost. But God said, bait outside. Pray, pray, and you'll make it. I will bless you, and I'll bless your family. So that's how it is today. So try my best to think about a lot of our people that are in sorrow. Some are maybe there's good times too, like birthday celebrations, all that, you know, and try to get together. But that damn sickness, it put us down, kind of hold us down. And so we're having a tough time with that sickness, and it's still going. I don't see how come people don't want to take a shot of the animal bang. They shouldn't take a shot. Now they're asking for a booster. So I think that booster's going to come in September, I think. We need to get that booster, just like getting a shot.
Lewis, Dr. Kennedy's got a question. Jim, go ahead.
Dr. Kennedy. Hey, Lewis, how are you, sir? Yeah, good day. Okay. How are you guys doing? Hey, thank you for coming on, Lewis. I really appreciate hearing your story and your side of things. I've been watching you sing for a lot of years, so thank you for everything you do for the tribe, and we look up to you, so thank you, brother. Hey, I had a question. I've heard some people comment, I think like 50 years ago, a lot of our up-and-coming Kiowa singers spoke Kiowa, and nowadays not very many singers speak Kiowa, and I've heard some of the elders mention that sometimes the singers, they sing good, but they don't maybe not know the words the songs are singing, and maybe some of the meanings getting lost, and I don't know if that's true or not, and I wanted to see what you thought about that.
Well, that on that decision here, you know, you try to look around the different ones that are still with us today, like my brother Leonard Jr. You could go and ask him, and he'll do his utmost. I look at my elders. I look at the ones that are older than I am. My older brothers, my older relatives, they're around this drum. Go up there and talk to them. Hey, I want to ask you a question here, and you know, and help me out. Yeah, I'll try to do the best I can. Or maybe they'll point to somebody else in the area that's been here, and you go up there and ask those, and they'll give you the right answer. And that's what you're asking for. You need help, and it's good to go up to your elders, the ones who are still living today, that understand singing, just singing on that big drum, and then. The word songs are very beautiful, but you have to understand what you're saying about that. Every song's got a story behind it. There's Kiowa. It's when these guys went out to war to come back, they got a story behind these songs. And that's how these songs related, like the Kiowa War Mother songs that they sing, they got words to them. They got different areas that the appropriate songs, the different ones come in. It goes by two it means. And it's got a story behind every song the war journey songs, the veteran songs that the war mothers, the Kiowa sing. And they got a story behind it. Every song's got, even the Gord Dance song, every song that you would think of, the families come from different ones. And they got words in them songs. But it's best to go out and ask somebody that you may know, may need them help. Go around that drum, ask them little questions, ask them that. They'll give you a right answer. That's where you need your help.
Sure. How do young people these days learn how to sing Kiowa songs? If you're not a Kozad and you want to learn how to sing Kiowa songs, what's a good way to do that? If you don't live in Carnegie or you don't live in Anadarko, is there any way to get that knowledge or to learn?
Well, a lot of it, you get by maybe a tape or something. You learn it over and over and over and over, and listen every day over and over and over and over, you know. Maybe a tape or a record or something you learn. Listen to it. And then come out to the drum, and then the first time you get around that drum, hey, can I sit down? Yeah, that's the hit singer. Who was he in charge of that? Take care of the drum. You ask him. He's the leader of the celebration here. He's the lead singer. You ask him if it's all right if I can sit here at this drum. Yeah. He'll say, okay, go ahead. Sit down over there. He'll sit you wherever he wants to sit you at. And that's how you're going to learn. You learn from that way.
Right.
And just like our dad was telling us, he said, when you go to a Native American church, you go in there, you're gonna find out where you come from, who your folks are, where your grandparents are. Okay, you're gonna go back. You're gonna go back and find your relatives in there. And there's a lot of anything in that Native American church. If you're really concerned about your family, you can go in there and ask that boss man in there relating the service there, you're going to ask him, and you want to come in here, you're going to find out who are your folks, who you come from, and that's a good place in it to find out who your folks are. And that's where our dad always encouraged us. He said, that's where you're going to come in here, you learn, you listen, and it's just take your time, you learn, and this prayer song go along with it.
Lewis, we're running out of time here, but I did want to ask you one more question before you left. So today's Kiowa young are growing up different from how you grew up when you were a boy. What recommendations or advice would you give to the Kiowa young today that aren't following as many traditions and don't have the moral background of your parents? So what advice would you give our young today?
Okay, for the younger generation, if they want to learn about the song and the dance, always go up to the ones who are the elders of you might sing the song and the dance, and you're going to ask them questions about this different regalia or the song. Ask them about that. And that's the only way you're going to learn, if you understand, is to come to certain ones around that drum. Because they got some little, you might say, the little older guys that are still with us today. Like the ones who once upon a time were here, they're all gone now. There's nobody there. But there's somebody on that drum. It's the other tribes, too, different families. They have you just ask the older ones about that, what you're asking for. The younger generation, you know, come to the drum, ask some little questions there. And as far as dancing wise, the regalia, different things that you want to learn and to do that type of dance that you're asking for. So I just want to encourage the younger generation to come around and ask questions.
All right.
We're here to, we'll try our best to encourage y'all to do the same thing.
All right, Lewis, we wanted to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to come on the show. And I hope all things go well with you and your family. Again, thank you for coming on the show.
All right. Thank y'all.
All right. That was Lewis Kozad, who was our Kiowa Elder of the Week. So the next portion of the show is we have a special guest, Dr. James Kennedy, and he is going to talk about the ongoing COVID pandemic. Dr. Kennedy is an emergency room physician at OU Medical Center. And so, Dr. Kennedy, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me, Joe. I'm talking to you from my home, actually, right now. I'm on quarantine. COVID caught up to me. So I'm on the flip side of COVID this time. I've talked on your show a few times about COVID, and I'll continue to talk about COVID. For those of you who don't know me, I'm an emergency room physician here in Oklahoma City at OU Medical Center. Obviously Kiowa, and do public health and health policy, and been Kiowa my whole life, member of the Black Leggings. But I talked about the vaccine, I talked about COVID and what to do, and we can continue to talk about that. But this week I'm experiencing it myself. I've been doubly vaccinated. I was offered both vaccines back in the early part of the year. I got the Pfizer, both Pfizer shots, and I got two Moderna shots. So I've had four total shots, and it's kept me free of COVID. I think it's helped me a lot, because I work around COVID every day. I go to work. I'm taking care of patients all day long, and people that we suspect have COVID, we know have COVID, and I got to walk in the room and I got to examine them and talk to them right up close to them and breathe the same air they're breathing. So, and when I'm at work, I'm wearing two masks usually. I'm very obsessive about wearing my masks, not just one, but two. And I wash my hands obsessively at work, and it's worked for me for the last year and a half, and I haven't caught a thing. But now we're in the Delta variant stage, and the Delta variant's the same. It's the same virus, but slightly different. It's mutated just a little bit. So the vaccine still works against the mutated version or the Delta variant. But it you know, your antibodies and the virus, they fit together like a puzzle piece. And if it's like one of the little puzzle pieces got clipped or something like that, you know, when it doesn't fit quite the same, but it still fits. It doesn't fit perfectly and as tightly as it did before. Your antibodies and the virus don't stick quite as tight as they did, but it still works. So it's a layer of protection. And I want to tell everybody out there, go get your vaccine, because it's very important if you haven't had it, or if you get a chance to get a booster. Get that, because people are saying, well, you got your vaccine, you still got COVID. Well, yeah, I did, and some people are doing that. But I fully believe that the having the vaccine and having antibodies in my system have kept my illness to be a much milder case than it would have otherwise been. And I always tell people, you know, getting the vaccine is not a perfect solution, but it's definitely better than not having it. Every hospital in the country, especially here, even here in Oklahoma, the data shows about 85% and 97% of people that are getting COVID, getting super sick from COVID, were unvaccinated, and that varies by hospital, but it's very much compelling data. You know, most of the people who are getting super sick from COVID are the non-vaccinated people. So it's not perfect, but it's a layer of protection, just like wearing your seatbelt in the car. You know, we didn't used to wear seatbelts back in the old days, and people grumbled and complained about having to wear them, but now it's law. You have to wear them, and you just do it without even thinking about it. And you can still get hurt with a seatbelt, but you're much less likely to get hurt with a seatbelt than without. So you still have to wear it, and it still helps you. And it's made a marked difference in the amount of people getting hurt in car crashes. And but the point is, it's not perfect, but it definitely helps. So it's a layer of protection, much like you can get pregnant on birth control. It's not perfect, but it's definitely much more likely to have unwanted children out there if you take your birth control. So the vaccine is much just like that. It's just a layer of protection. So please go get your vaccine. This week I had worked all weekend, two weekends ago, and I think that's when I caught it. I'm not sure how. I'm still kind of racking my brain how I caught this thing, but started my right ear. I started having an earache, and I never get earaches. And it went to my throat, and I started having a little sore throat, and I never get sore throats either. I didn't think much about it. And then about 2 or 3 days after that, I started having a fever and chills, and I was shaking in the bed and sweating in the bed. My room, my house was 65 degrees with the air conditioner on. I was sweating, so I knew something was going on. So that was last Saturday. And then Sunday morning, I went and took a home COVID test, and it was positive. And then I went over to CVS, and you can get a COVID test there. You can get the both kinds of COVID tests. There's the antigen test, and then there's the PCR test, which stands for polymerase chain reaction.
And the antigen test is a quick test. They can do a little card, and they can take a little swab of your nose and do it right there at the clinic. And actually, usually they're not doing it. CVS at least doesn't do it in the building. They have to do it drive through, so they can get your result right then and there within 10 minutes. The PCR is the better test, though. It's a much, much better test. It's more confirmatory and more believable. And that takes about a day, usually. In the hospital, we can get them back in about an hour and a half, a PCR. But if you get it at a clinic or someplace like a CVS or a pharmacy, it might take a day or two to get the results back. And that's what I did. I went to a drive-through CVS, took my nasal swab right there in the drive-through, and had to stick that thing up my nose for 5 seconds on each side and tickle my brain a little bit and put it back in this little tube and put it back in the carrier, and they sent it off, and I knew by the next day it was positive. So I've been on isolation, haven't seen a soul or touched a soul or been around anybody for going on 5 days now. So, but I'm feeling better. I'm, you know, we always worry about being short of breath and your oxygen levels going down, and I haven't had any of that, so thank God. So I went and got an antibody infusion yesterday, and this is something you can do through your doctor, you can do through the IHS, or you can do through your clinic. It's called Regeneron, and it's a mixture or a cocktail of monoclonal antibodies. And it's basically what your body, when you get infected with COVID, what your body is trying to make is antibodies. So Regeneron is just a mixture of pre-made antibodies already made to fit COVID virus, just like a puzzle. So it goes in there and attacks, finds the virus and attaches to it and takes it out of commission. And it was remarkable. I got it yesterday morning about 6:30 in the morning, and by the evening I was feeling much, much better. So yeah, so it's interesting. I take care of COVID patients all the time and try to help people, teach people the right way to take care of things. But it's interesting now I'm a patient, so I'm on the other side of things. So it always helps to kind of see things from the flip side. So I get to experience it myself, but I'm very fortunate. It's not a bad case. So yeah, and here I am. So I'll probably be on lockdown at least a few more days. I'm going to go get tested again tomorrow to see if I'm still shedding virus or not. And then I've been out of work for about 5 days now, and I'll have to be out of work another 5 to 6, 7 days minimum. So get a lot of work done around the house.
Well, that's good, Jim. Is there anything else you want to tell the Kiowa people while we have you on? We've got about a minute and a half left.
Oh, sure. Well, I want to just tell you to, like everybody else, get your vaccine. Please, if you haven't got it, I implore you to go get it. There's a lot of misinformation out there about the COVID vaccine. All kinds of crazy, crazy stuff. And there's no computer chip in the vaccine. It's not a government conspiracy. Nobody's trying to hurt you or harm you or track you or anything crazy like that. It's really, really honest to goodness trying to help you. And we all need to realize that we live in a protective bubble of the vaccinations that were provided to us when we were children. And there's a reason why we don't see things like smallpox and polio and whooping cough and lots of scourge diseases that we used to see, measles and mumps. And heck, when I was a kid, everybody got chicken pox, and now we don't even see chicken pox anymore. And there's a reason why we don't see all those diseases anymore. We don't see people getting super sick from them. It's because of vaccines. And I think there are a lot of folks, you know, they just kind of get those things in their kids. They kind of grow up thinking that's just the way things are. We don't see those diseases, so they don't even know they're there. They never even heard of the diseases. But if we hadn't had vaccines, they would be hearing about them. They'd be seeing people die and getting sick of them. So sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind, and they don't realize. They're kind of blithely unaware that they're in a protective bubble that vaccines provide. And we have to constantly remind people it's not normal to not have all those diseases running around. It's very abnormal to not have those diseases. If we deal away with all vaccinations right now, those diseases would probably come back, and we'd start seeing them again and seeing our kids and our elders and our family get sick of them again. So vaccines are good, and they've proven themselves time and time and time again. And our elders, grandfathers, great-grandparents would kill to have a vaccine because they saw all those people passing away and getting sick of those diseases, and they would love to have a vaccine. We have to learn, and we have to realize we are very fortunate to live in the time of day that we do. And please take advantage of all the technology and the medications and the advice that's available to you now that many of our elders from hundreds and thousands of years ago did not have at all. We were very fortunate. So take advantage of that, I hope.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Kinney. I would ask you to stay on. At the end of the show, you may have some questions that you want to ask. So if you could stay on for 15 more minutes and wait to see if you have some comment. So thank you for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you here in a bit. The next portion of the show is we've got our legislative update, and I believe, Jacob, you're on next. Go ahead.
If you hear echo in the background,
echo.
I am
echo.
At the First American Museum at the intersection of I-35 and I-40. I came to pick up some passes for this weekend for our legislature, and I'm just in awe at what I have seen transpire since my last visit. This is an amazing facility, one that will bring much pride to our native nation, and believe me, we need some return of pride among our Kiowa people. And if we have the opportunity to visit this facility this weekend, I hope you take the time to do so, because this will uplift your spirit and inspire you, as we need such uplift and inspiration, because there's been put much effort to bring this to fruition. I'm so thankful for the staff, for the director, for all those who have had a part in this 15-year journey to finally see it culminate here in Oklahoma City. It's going to be an amazing place, a healing place, a place that would give us a sense of who we are when many of us are confused about that, our identity. I think if they make one-time effort to be here, they will find just what they need to reaffirm what it is to be Native and what it is to be Kiowa. While I walked into the foyer area, there was a large video screen, and it had an image of our Kiowa gourd dance. And I felt such a sense of great pride that our people continue to struggle to exist and to be who they are, despite the many challenges they confront, just like last Friday, as we met and gathered in Clinton, Oklahoma, to help to reaffirm that young man's sense of loss, as he had been subjected to much humiliation by having his hair cut. And we still don't know the full story. We're still waiting to find out the fact. It's our sense, many of us, our sense that they are hiding something to protect the young man who may have perpetrated this. But I drove out to Clinton, and what I saw was just amazing and so heartwarming, as several hundred people had gathered to be a part of that protest in the city of Clinton, which has been historically a town that has been hard on our people, had overtly racist acts committed, not just in the community, but by the police department. And from the powers that be, then we have to rise up. We have to lift our voice, and we have to push back and assert that we will not go away. We will not allow this type of treatment to be subjected on our greatest gift as tribal people, our children. And so we marched from an elementary school down the main avenue, Route 66, and stopped there at the Clinton Police Department. And I was able to speak for a few minutes to encourage them to continue to resist, continue to lift their voice, and continue to take pride in who they are as Native people, and not let themselves be discouraged by the census act. And we know that there have been troubling incidents there in Clinton over the past several years. And so we lift our united voices. And it was amazing. I'm sure many of you were able to see that on Facebook Live. I put a short video on District 7's Facebook page as I marched along. And I was glad to be a part of it, thankful to be a part. I'm humbled to see so many young people, our grandmothers, grandfathers, our grandchildren, who were a part of that protest march. Thankful for that. We still have a group, AIM, and in AIM in Indian Territory that will still help to galvanize our communities when they see injustice occur among our Native people. So I'm thankful for their organizing efforts. I worried about whether or not there would be a gathering of response since we heard kind of a repudiation of what the first story was, and that letter was, press release was given by the governor of the Cheyenne Arapaho tribes and the superintendent of school, but it still said there was some dispute about it, but they concluded that it did not occur the way it did. But we have our doubts about that as Native people, because the truth sometimes doesn't come out at first blush. But like I say, my favorite verse, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
Hey,
and
Jacob.
We will see justice today.
Hey, Jacob, let's check and see if Anita's on. Anita, are you on the line? Okay. Jacob, go ahead.
Well, that was my retelling of that event, and I traveled from Clinton down to Duval last week where we heard memorial recognition of all those who had perished in the 9/11 tragedy, and a reminder of who we are as Native people in the midst of a broader society, and we can still celebrate or recognize those moments of a great sense of loss that was experienced by our country. And we can share in that kind of sense of tragedy as what happened to our people over the generations, what we were subjected to as a sovereign nation. So we, you know, we have shared feelings that we can commiserate with the greater society about their loss. And, you know, there are a couple of Oklahomans who were a part of that who were lost in that late tragedy. And so that was a good moment. We had the Kiowa Black Leggings there. The chairman spoke. The director of the Tommy Franks Museum from Hobart was a part of that. And so it was a good time to gather and memorialize that national tragedy.
So, Jake, anything going on in the government?
Huh?
Anything going on in our tribal government?
We read a couple of bills at our monthly meeting. We have to consider the veto of the chairman of the election ordinance, and also the modification of this year's budget. We still have the crisis in our government where some are interpreting the Constitution that we don't have a budget and that we go to last year's budget, but that's until we run out of money. And I just heard from a constituent this week that social services is still telling them that they're out of money. And they don't seem to understand that we go back to last year's budget from the beginning, not at the end. So we still should have whatever amount was budgeted last year to use for this year until we get a budget that is passed. And Legislator Prentice is heading up negotiations on a new budget with the executive branch. We don't know where they're at yet in terms of that discussion, and that will be presented once everything is squared away and agreed upon. But he has not met with the executive branch to get their input. So we're waiting for that to occur before we present that to the full legislature and we vote on it. So it may be I'm hoping at our October meeting, where we'll be able to vote on that resolution and proposal for our new budget.
All right.
Do know that in speaking or listening to what is going on with the ARP payments that were very near the end of that process. They have worked through the vast majority of applications, and they are now singling out those who have already submitted their applications a couple of months ago and haven't received them. There were glitches in the initial processing, and that first day, several thousand were mishandled for some reason, the computer or whatever, and they weren't processed by the system. So we're having to catch up with some of those. But they're very near the end. Most people have received their payments, which is a good thing.
Hey, Jacob, so the tribe released a report on that as of yesterday, and there have been 10,400 people apply, and the tribe has gotten 7,600 checks out so far.
Good, good.
And we're going on, is this about the 2.5 months into this payment process?
July 3rd is when it was initiated.
July 3rd. Oh, it's all right. It's about 2.5 months. Well, I wanted to note that the Cheyenne Arapaho tribe got all of their COVID funds out in a week.
Well, I believe it, and I think that we had issues with our technology, our use of data processing that really need to be looked at. And we'll hear from a report from the center, hopefully the director, at our next monthly meeting. To let us know what some of the glitches were, how we might fix those. Because we do know there's a second round of funding coming through. It won't be near as much, but there may be a possibility of a second payment. Now I'm just projecting that. I have no information that leads me to believe that is a confirmed process or a confirmed notion by the tribe. We'll wait and see. But, it is frustrating, and it is angering, causing a lot of anguish among our people that we have so many glitches, so many delays and confusion about how these payments should be made. To me, it would have made sense to hire a company who does this on a regular basis, Paycom, someone like that, to handle this for us, for the 10,000 citizens in a timely manner, but we chose to use internal processes.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Dr. Kennedy, did you have any questions that you want to ask Jacob?
No, it's okay. You're doing a good job. I was pleased that the money got out. And I know you guys are working hard, Jacob, so thank you for all you do. I know there are a lot of challenges down there, but we're on your side. We want nothing but the best for you and for people, so thank you again.
All right.
I appreciate that, Dr. Kennedy, and I give you my best and hope that you have a speedy recovery because I know it's different for every individual, and so it can, there can be twists and turns, so I just hope you stay on that straight and narrow and get back to action sooner rather than later.
I hope.
All right, Jacob, we've got a longer list of announcements today. Do you have anything else you'd like to tell the Kiowa people here in the next minute?
Well, I'm looking forward to this weekend and celebration here at First American Museum and hope that the weather cooperates and we have a good turnout.
Well, I hope so, too. I'm going to go to the OU-Nebraska game on Saturday, and then I'm going to go to the museum on Sunday. So I hope to see you there. All right. Let's go ahead and we move on to our announcements portion of the show. Here we have a special guest from our tribe to the north to give us an update on the upcoming Crow Kiowa hand game season. And so we have Mary Beaver here in the studio. So Mary, you want to go ahead and tell us what's going on and what the schedule is going to be for the hand game?
Okay.
Hand games.
All right. Sure. Let me start by saying that this is the Kiowa Crow hand game schedule. And we've been doing this for years. Last year we didn't get a schedule because of the COVID. But this year, the schedule is already out and full. So, starting on November the 10th, Camp 7 will be hosting the Crows. On November the 11th, the Bear Shield family will be hosting. November the 12th, Kozats will be hosting. November the 13th, Joe Fish DuPont will be hosting, and on November the 14th, the Challengers will be hosting. Also, all the locations on these hand games are yet to be determined. So with that, I'd like to talk a little bit about the COVID, the precautions that should be in place for the sponsors. It's going to be their responsibility, whatever guidelines you set up and enforce. That's it should be mask, social distancing, hand sanitizers, because, you know, the bones are going to be passed back and forth. We really need to be careful because we're going to have a lot of elders that usually come to this, to these functions, and we certainly don't want them to be getting sick. Hopefully everybody's got their vaccinations, and it'll be just so much better, and it's always best to be safe.
Mary, you know what you should do? I saw this meme on Facebook the other day. Is you should buy some of that spray that they use at the bowling alleys to clean the shoes with, you know, before you put on those shoes, because that'll kill everything.
So you want us to spray our shoes?
It's a joke, Mary. Okay. Do you have anything else you'd like to say?
No, just that we should have a good time and a good crowd at these places.
All right, Mary, thanks for coming on today. Sure. So in closing, we have a couple of announcements. Events this weekend. We've got the powwow down in Geronimo. The vendor setup is at 6 o'clock on Friday. There's a parade lineup at 5:30, but that starts at 6, and that will go. The powwow starts. I can't see what time it starts because this flyer is cut off. But you can go to the Oklahoma Powwow Trails and get a copy of that flyer. The powwow starts at noon on Saturday. And that's down in Geronimo. It's their 2021 Geronimo birthday celebration. Next, we have an announcement. The Oklahoma City Powwow Club is having their fall fun fest. And the powwow there's going to be two parts. The first part is going to be at the Myriad Botanical Gardens. And we're going to have an afternoon gourd dance from 12 to 4. We're going to cut for supper. And we're going to resume the event at Indian Hills at 6 o'clock. Starting with a gourd dance from 6 to 7, and then at 7 we'll have social and war dance. And that event will start downtown at noon, and it'll start right after the Red Earth Parade downtown. So we're looking forward to those events. Second, I'd like to tell everyone to please get vaccinated. Please contact your nearest, closest IHS clinic to find out. Carnegie 580-654-2533, Lawton 580-354-5000, and Anadarko 405-247-7900. We'd like to thank our guests, Louis Kozad, Dr. Kennedy, and Mary Beavers for speaking today, as well as all the Koigu for tuning into our program on KACO New Country 98.5. Apache, Anadarko, Lawton, Fort Sill. Please pray for the Kiowa people, and as JT would say, goombye for now.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mormon Media management and staff.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it. So can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.